Mr. Right. That's right with a W. It's a play on words. And playing with words is my profession. I'm the prolific novelist Richard Bunn. And on the Mr. Right program, I sit down with another writer to talk writing and writers and writing and the craft of writing. Thanks so much for listening, and please enjoy. Mr. Right. Hello and welcome to the Mr. Right program. That's right with a W. It's a play on words. I'm Richard Bunn, the novelist. So happy that you've joined us for another episode here today. And I am very excited to introduce my guest. You know him from his sketch comedy CD, Tasty Radio. And you also know him from all of his wonderful work on Saturday Night Live. Please help me welcome Mike O'Brien. Mike, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Richard.
Oh, this is just wonderful. So great having you here in the studio. Did you find the studio all right?
Yeah. I found it all right. I had trouble parking, but otherwise...
That happens. Hey, welcome to Hollywood, baby. That's what everyone says. Let's do some more small talk. What did you have for lunch today?
Jesus, man. I think they're called taquitos. They're like Trader Joe's meat sticks.
Yeah. Sort of a rolled up tortilla. That's funny. I had Mexican tacos myself.
Really?
So, tacos versus taquitos.
That's Hollywood, baby.
Yeah. I think we both won as far as lunch is concerned.
Yeah. I'll spread out the Hollywood babies too. We're coming out hot with two already.
You can never use enough of them here on the Mr. Right program. Now, I mentioned it in the introduction. You've done some amazing stuff on Saturday Night Live. You made a number of short films. Very funny, very creative, very interesting. And what I found especially interesting is the sort of different genres that you managed to work in. Being a literary man, it's especially interesting to me. There's one that you made titled Kids.
Yeah.
Right? And that was sort of involved sort of horror and maybe a little bit of fantasy, would you say?
I'd say that's horror and fantasy.
Okay.
Have you written novels with that?
Absolutely.
Good. I mean, I'm a big fan too, but I haven't read everything.
Well, there's way too many. The only person who's read them all is me.
You're not married. Okay.
No, not anymore. No, I'm not. Now, here's another one, though, I was very interested by. You made a short called Grow a Guy.
Yeah.
And this was sort of a science fiction premise, sort of. It had elements of that. Why don't you describe what happens in it? Just a short synopsis.
Yeah, I guess it'd be like science fiction or like 80s comedy.
Uh-huh.
A guy is... challenge to show the first part of the premise is a little weird because I don't know whether this ever has happened anywhere, but a group of popular kids challenge a little bit dorkier guy as to whether he has other friends, which is a weird claim.
Yeah.
And he says, I know a guy from my other school I know him from wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lying. But the guys are like, well,
yes,
bring him by our lake house.
Right.
And he has to produce a friend in 1 week,
and
he notices in the back of a magazine that there's this thing called Grow a Guy, where you grow it like sea monkeys.
Right.
And he grows a human that way and teaches him everything except the flaw that's left is that the Grow a Guy doesn't really get what hashtags, why you use them at all, which is a real thing I don't get.
Right. Why do you use hashtags? And it never does get answered in the short film, but that's fine.
Right.
But that's sort of his tell. That's how they know that it's not a real person, because who would ask that question?
Exactly.
Is what the popular kids think, I suppose. But this idea, I couldn't get it out of my mind, this idea of growing a guy. And you said just sort of like sea monkeys, where you water the sort of product that you bought, and it grows into a blob, and then soon enough it's a full-grown man. And it made me wonder, and I wondered if you wondered as well, what if this were possible? What if this sort of science fiction-y world was possible? What would it be like in a world where we could grow a guy?
It's an interesting question, Richard.
Yeah, I thought so.
I think one of the issues with it. So the grow guys in the video ended up self-destructing. They would just blow up.
Yes.
When their time was done,
mm-hmm.
And that was James Franco's idea. which I liked a lot, and it was fast and funny.
Fantastic.
And but my real image of it is that they just die like humans die. They just slump over, and then you've got a full, like, 185-pound, just starting sort of to rot product.
Just a meat sack, yeah, sort of.
Just a meat sack that's starting to go bad. So there'd just be piles of these grower guys out in the woods. It would just start to – people would be like – you know, just stacks and stacks of bloating, kind of fly-covered grow guys everywhere.
Yeah, just decaying. And
it's not like morbid. It's just inconvenient. People are
right. Because it's not really a person. No one wants to have a burial for one of these.
It's not worth digging 6 feet down and everything. But at the same time, yeah, it's just like stacks and stacks of rotting grow guys everywhere behind like Taco Bell and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can really envision the stacks.
Wow.
Absolutely. It made me wonder what else might be happening in this world. Could we have these guys as slaves or sex slaves? But I can imagine a world where that would go down. They're not really considered you. You bought it, right?
Right.
So it's property in a way. It's not quite a human.
Right. Yeah, I guess, you know, I think there's
armies of them?
Soulless.
Armies of them?
Well, maybe. Richard, maybe. Yeah, like the Clone Wars and all the good Star Wars.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
This sort of segues nicely into what I wanted to get into next, which is, what is your writing process like?
Mm.
What do you do when you set down, when you set yourself down to write something?
Yeah.
What do you do? How does that go? Everyone's got their own process. What do you do?
Well, I usually eat first. I don't like to write hungry, so I'll have like a bologna sandwich and then...
just a classic bologna sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. And then this is embarrassing, but my mom used to sing a song that I'll sometimes run through in my head real quickly and just gets my brain in the, you know, it gets the creative juices flowing or whatever.
Yeah, in the zone.
It's painful, but do you want to hear? I'm not a good singer.
We would love to hear. We would love to hear the song.
It's like, time to write. Grab your pen and grab your paper. Time to write. Grab your pen and don't forget your paper. Time to write. Get your keyboard, get your laptop. Time to write. Get your keyboard, hit return. And that's the first verse. But
wonderful.
I'll do the whole song. It's
please.
Oh, sure.
Oh, you said you won't do the whole song.
No, when I am about to write, I'll do the full.
I see.
8-9 minutes.
But it's a full sort of a Stairway to Heaven level length song.
Yeah, and there's some verses in there that have nothing to do with writing or laptops, you know. Hits it real hard at the beginning. And then I feel like she might have just felt obligated to get some length, which no one had – she wasn't under any sort of contract or anything. But.
Right. She was just really sort of exploring and seeing how long of a song she could make it, maybe. I don't know.
I'm not sure why, but by the time you're singing it and getting really tired, you often don't feel like writing after. So it's not I don't know what her angle was with that.
So counterintuitive in that way. But I suppose you are happy to be done singing the song.
Yeah.
And up for doing anything different.
Yeah, and sometimes that ends up being writing. Often it just is laying down.
Just lie down.
You just lie down a little bit, yeah.
Maybe time for a nap at that point.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a nap. Nothing wrong with a nap at all.
No.
That's very interesting. I love hearing about different writers, different processes.
Yeah.
And we'll get into mine later on in the program, of course.
Seems like now would be the place to stick it in there.
Yeah, we'll do it a little bit later.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get around to it.
Sure.
We'll get around to it eventually. I want to save it for later. All right, it's now time on the program for one of our weekly features, and this is titled The Write-In, where one of our listeners writes in a tiny story, a note card-sized story, and we read it right here on the program. And I'm very excited. We have a submission from a writer by the name of Rex Graff. I like that name. That's a nice writerly name. And the title of this tiny story is Trixie, and I'll read it right now. Wrigley, the dog, pulled her away from the desk. Skinny leash, huge yellow dog, tiny girl. Wrigley really wanted to investigate the cat side of the office, and his big feet skittered on the tile. Wrigley, please. Wrigley, let me get rich. The woman behind the desk drifted toward the file room. If they need to test him for rabies, it'll be a few weeks before we can get you the ashes. If you want the ashes. No, he didn't bite anybody. We're moving. I felt my cat try to hide deeper in the carrier on my lap, and then I heard him throw up. Wow. Wow. That is it. That's Trixie by Rex Graff.
Okay.
How about that?
A lot going on there. I mean,
it was tough to follow the action at one point.
I got fascinated by the fact that there was an eye all of a sudden.
Toward the end.
Yeah.
That was the narrator.
Have you ever noticed that in Helter Skelter? Have you read that?
The book about the Manson trial?
Yeah.
Okay. I have not.
In like chapter 8, it starts with, I headed to court that day and it never said I, and then...
Just right in the middle.
Yeah, because...
Vincent Bugliosi just inserts himself in at some point.
Right, because he's the main prosecutor, but mm-hmm. I hadn't put it together that I was hearing from the guy who was going to be the prosecutor. So it's talking about Manson, it's talking about this and that, and then all of a sudden it's like, I had my coffee, and you're like, who the...
what? Who asked you, Vincent? who the heck asked you?
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Graff pulled a real Bugliosi there, and I liked it.
He certainly did. He went full Bugliosi, and right in the final sentence, we find that the narrator was watching the entire time, observing. What jumped out to me, and what I was interested about, was this point where someone is told, we can give you the ashes in a week if you want the ashes. And they reply, no, he didn't bite anybody. We're moving. Now, did you believe that character or no?
Oh, well, I mean,
didn't bite anybody. We're moving.
The people saying the ashes line seemed to be ready to put down Trixie either way.
Yes, yes.
And then that makes me wonder if the cat on the lap is also getting put down, in fact, because she also pukes.
Right.
Or maybe it's just a vet office where they're going to fix the cat up, but they're going to kill the dog.
Yeah.
But it'd be pretty weird at that stage in the day to be not sure whether you're going to put this dog down or not. You guys got to kind of work that out over some paperwork and lawyers earlier.
Right.
It seems late in the game, if I'm picturing the right location, everything to say, oh, by the way, our dog didn't bite anyone.
Oh, yes. Now I understand your take. So
maybe
that dog has rabies for certain, and we're just getting rid of the dog and moving. That's the plan, it sounds like.
Oh, I
I no, thought, maybe not. There's
I don't
so
know.
Many interpretations.
It could be, Richard. I thought... I don't know. I thought maybe the people at the vet's office were like, we're putting this dog down because it bit someone. Didn't even think about rabies. Just sometimes if your dog bites someone.
Yes.
Or twice, I think you get one freebie.
We got to test no matter what.
Right. And I mean that they kill them.
Yes,
they can,
that too.
You can have it killed. And they said, no, don't kill it. We're just going to move. But then I suppose the vet's response would be, well, then why are you here?
Why? That's my question as well. Why are you here? If the vet's first question was about rabies shots.
Oh, okay.
And then why did you bring the dog in? It leaves so many questions unanswered. I wondered if the person was simply lying and saying, no, he didn't bite anybody. We're just moving. And then the vet's supposed to trust that they're moving, but they're actually not moving because the dog did bite someone. It does have rabies and it's going to,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to have to read this a number of more times,
yeah.
I think, to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I'm going to make a Xerox before I go.
We'll definitely get a Xerox of this, or at least just a hand copy. There's pencils over there. We could get some loose leaf and copy it down. I don't know if the Xerox is working.
Oh, well, I can take a look.
Yeah, you could take a look. That's fine. Or we could fax it to you.
I don't have a fax.
You don't have a fax.
Yeah.
No, boy.
Most of your guess.
Yeah, I thought that was in the description. You don't have a fax? Is that right?
Yeah. I can tell you right now what the description was. It was come on this program.
Yes.
We're going to talk about writing.
Yes, yes.
And directions to this building. But not
right.
Definitely never said materials might need to be faxed to you a week later.
Okay. And I must have skipped over that. And that's my fault, of course. Do you have a Kinko's or an off-brand copy shop that where you can receive a fax for 99 cents or $1.99, something
I
like
guess.
That?
Yeah, I could. I'm sure I could okay. go to somewhere.
Great. Fantastic. So you'll give me that number sometime in the next week. And that you'll be all squared away with a fax number.
The phone number of the fax machine at the Kinko's? That's a... Yeah, I guess I'll get you that.
Perfect. All right, Mike. You know, something occurred to me not too long ago when I was working on one of my novels, and that's this, that if you look at it from far away, if you're going to write a novel, well, you're probably going to need to have some chapters in there. And how are you going to get some chapters? Well, I hope you've got some paragraphs. Otherwise, you're in trouble. And if you really drill down on the paragraph... What is that even comprised of? Well, it's made of sentences, is what it's made of, and I'm sure that you have...
Can I interrupt briefly and ask, what's your highest level of education?
I'm sorry?
Sorry, nothing. Go on.
Okay. Yes. Again, I lost my train of thought. But anyway, we're talking sentences.
That sentences are in paragraphs?
Yeah. We're talking sentences now, and I'm sure you've dealt with them before. When you're making a sentence, what do you like to throw in there? What do you put in?
I mean, all sorts of every type of word really
yes.
is fair game.
Sure. Nouns?
That's part of the fun. Absolutely.
Great.
Almost always. And then...
Verbs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, certainly. No fragments. But yeah, I probably go heavy on the adverbs, especially if
an adverb describes an adjective or a verb.
An action, actually.
Okay.
So it's you know, the ones with the ly on the end. So
yes.
I'll do it a lot with, like, when someone is speaking, like, he said thirstily, or he said, because
yes.
then you can picture how you go back and you look at it again and you can picture how the person said it.
It paints a picture, doesn't it?
Yeah, it describes
it really
an
does.
Action. Yeah.
Well, this is great. Now that we've been discussing it, I would love to play the sentence game with you. And I can describe the sentence game right now.
Sure.
And for all of our listeners. So here's how it goes. Now, I'm going to count three. And when I do, I'm going to say a noun. And at the same time, you'll say a verb. All right?
And they'll simultaneous.
Yeah, simultaneously. And I'll jot them down just so we have a record of
it. So keep track of what you said because it might be hard to hear. Type thing?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. And we may have to go to the tape. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And I'll jot them down. And then we'll do one more time. And we'll both say an adjective. Or since you love them so much, how about an adverb from you?
That'd be great.
Okay. That seems like it's in your wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So we'll get an adjective from me and an adverb from you. Simultaneously, again, I'll put that down as well. And we'll have four words. And then you're allowed to take four more wildcard words. Whatever you like. Okay? Any kind of word you like.
Pick your own.
Pick your own. Do whatever you like. So it'll total eight words in
uh-huh.
total, and you comprise...
We've each made up six of the words.
What's that?
Of the eight words I'll have sitting in my lap at that point, I'll have made up six of them.
No, just two.
But the four wild cards you said I make up. So that's... I almost
Oh,
just,
yes, yes,
okay.
Yes. Now I follow.
Yeah.
Now I follow your math. Yes. You'll have made...
It's. I mean, this is a bad game. I'm into it, though.
This is not a bad game. It's not that bad of a game. All right. But the math does check out. You will have come up with six of the words. All right. Very good.
Okay.
So let's get started right off the top here. All right. I'm going to count three.
And then I'll say a verb this time.
Precisely. All right.
This is the sentence game.
This is the sentence game.
Okay.
And a one, and a two, and a three. Baker.
Frenched.
I'm jotting him down. Baker. Okay. And Frenched. Okay. Very good. Past tense. That's wonderful. All right.
Okay.
Here we go again. Now, I am going to say an adjective. You'll say an adverb. And here we go. And a one, and a two, and a three. Blue.
Sweatily.
Sweatily. Blue and sweatily. Blue and sweatily. All right. Now, so we've got our four words, Baker, French, Blue, and Swelly. Do you need some scratch paper over there?
Yeah, please.
Okay, great. Hey, why don't you take that?
Sentence game is great, by the way. I'm coming around on it.
All right. Great. Now, let's just go ahead and compose a sentence and we'll compare and we'll see what we come up with.
Blue was yours. Sweaty.
Yep. Baker and French.
And then four words that we just make up now.
Those are the wild cards.
They're not. All right.
And while we work on our sentences, maybe you're playing along at home, composing a sentence with the four words that we've provided, as well as four wild cards of your own. All right. I know I finished my sentence. How about you, Mike?
Yeah, I made up four words and made it a sentence. Yeah,
that's a sentence game. All right. Would you like to go first? Guess goes first.
Sure. Thank you. Gary sweatily grabbed and Frenched the blue baker.
Ah.
So I got a, you know, proper name there, Gary.
Gary, and yes.
Then you hate that you got to use and the, but you end up needing some of that.
You need some of those boring little, those connector words. We always overlook them, but they are necessary.
Yeah.
And what was the rest? Give me the sentence again.
Gary sweatily grabbed and Frenched the blue baker.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like the purple pie man.
Yes. It was the baker that was blue in this.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. What did you make blue?
Well, we're going to find out right here. My sentence was, the baker Frenched the blue-haired teen sweatily.
Ah.
The baker Frenched the blue-haired teen sweatily.
So similar because they overlap on four of the eight words, but
yes,
different because the other four we got to make up.
Well, one, you used the and I did as well. So.
Oh, yeah.
So five were the same.
Five of the same words in the sentence game. And then we both had sentences by the end.
Yeah, this was wonderful. We want to go for a round two?
I'm actually good. I don't want to
that's fine.
Play the sentence game. My two quick feedback, if you're looking for it.
Absolutely.
Is one, there's no reason the words have to be said at the same time.
Uh-huh.
In the first part. That makes it hard to hear them. They could just be said one, then the other.
Right, sure.
And the other thing is, but once you say, and then throw in four words of your own, that makes it like it's just kind of nothing.
All right, okay. That's helpful criticism. I love it. Touché. All right, now something that many of our listeners might not know, Mike, is that you actually got your start writing erotic fiction under a pseudonym. Isn't that correct?
That's true.
That's right. Under the pseudonym Humper S. Thompson.
That's right.
Alternately with Humper Ass Thompson. Is that right?
Yeah. By the end, I had realized that the S was a missed opportunity, and I went ahead and made it Humper Ass Thompson.
There you go. Sort of doubling up there.
Yes.
Fantastic. And you, I mentioned this to you off air, and you brought in a short passage from one of your works.
I did, Richard. This is all of, I would write as Humper all erotic fiction based around the OJ trial.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And some of the sex that might have been going on kind of behind the scenes there. So this is from one of those. By the third week of the trial, Judge Ito's private chambers had become an anything-goes orgy during most recesses.
Oh, my.
As they all filed in during one such recess, Johnny Cochran pinned Marcia Clark against the wall. He bit her earlobe and whispered, "I can't believe you put that O.J. Simpson exercise video into evidence to prove he was anything but frail. You're so good, it drives me nuts." Marcia Clark from the O.J. trial arched her back and dragged her fingernails down his muscular arms.
Oh, my.
He reached down and shoved his hand up her skirt, grasping the outside of her panties. "It's minimum maintenance," she breathed into his ear. "Oh, yeah," he said. "That's good, I suppose." "No," she said, "OJ's exercise video. It's called Minimum Maintenance, Fitness for Men. I just remembered the name." "Oh, right on," he said. "Yeah, that's kind of a weird name for an exercise video." "Shut up and do it," Judge Ito said, cradling his gigantic, flaccid member in his paw. "I'm losing my boner with all your chit-chat." "Not so fast," said Cato Kalin from the OJ trial, producing an 8-inch member. And we'll leave it on Cato's entrance there.
Wow, that was wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, what was it? Did it have a title, or is it just sort of part of your chronicles of the OJ trial?
That novel was If the Glove Fits, You Must Fuck.
Oh, what a title.
Which was a playoff. Yeah, you must...
Acquit.
Acquit. Thank you.
Right. Oh, that was really something. You know, what's so interesting and fun, even all these years later, is that we remember all those characters. We get Judge Lance Ito,
yeah.
And we get Marsha Clark and Johnny Cochran, yeah. And then who's making an appearance at the end, but it's Cato Kaelin,
yeah.
And a fan favorite, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, Kaelin, everyone wants more Kaelin action, and I made his member larger than it actually is, but that's because he's everyone's favorite. And
we're hoping that it is.
Right.
We're caught sort of... our expectations are high, and they are met.
Yeah, yeah. And Marsha Clark's got that great kind of uptight, but you know she's probably a little bit of fun. In,
she's
in
been
the
around
bedroom.
The block.
Yeah,
yeah, I think so. Yeah. We got to hear a little bit about your process for writing earlier with the Time to Write song, which was very interesting. And I'd love to try out a technique like that for myself. But now is the time in the program where I'm going to have you try out the bun process, also known as the bun technique for writers and writing. And that's what I'm going to guide you through right now. All
okay.
right?
All right.
All right. Very good. Now, so here is how this works. First of all, we need to turn off all of our gadgets and our electronic gizmos, all of our phones and our Palm Pilot and your beepers and your buzzers. Turn everything off. Okay. There's a lot of distractions. We get rid of all of those. All
okay.
right.
Okay. Great. Phone is off.
Phone is off. All right. Great. And then just take a deep breath. Great. Now we close the eyes. Don't fall asleep.
Okay.
All right. Take one more tiny deep breath.
Tiny?
Yeah, even tinier than that. Very good. All right. Great. Now you're in a relaxed state, and I just want you to look with your mind's eye, all right, and just simply describe what you see. What's going on in your fantasy imaginationscape?
There's a bagel shop in the middle of the desert with nothing else for miles.
Uh-huh. All right.
And maybe a guy is walking up to it.
Okay.
Not all tattered, like a cartoon guy going through a desert. Maybe he's like oddly put together.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And he pulls on the door and it doesn't open, but the sign says open.
Uh-huh.
And maybe a old man in a white apron comes and flips it to closed and shrugs.
Oh.
And this enrages the guy.
Uh-huh.
We'll call him Mark. So Mark decides, you know, we don't know. He hasn't said, but you figure he's probably hungry. It's a desert.
Right.
And
is he able to look into the window at all?
Yeah, maybe he's looking in the windows.
Yeah, what does he see inside the bagel shop?
Oh, okay. He sees the guy wiping down counters,
uh-huh.
and it's got kind of a 1950s diner feel they were going for. Clearly,
sure. Is there a calendar on the wall?
Yeah.
Great. And what year does it say?
The year is 2013, and the calendar is cats.
Okay, so that's what you okay. Great.
And he notices there's a chimney, a big oven.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, the big heating hood above a stove. And he's like, oh, I'll go. Maybe I can go down the chimney.
Oh, Mark. Oh, boy. All right.
Yeah. You're nervous about it?
Well, I'm concerned for him, yes.
Yeah. He makes a ladder out of some branches. And while he's doing that, he's kind of thinking like, man, if I could have done this the whole time, I wouldn't be in this situation. But mm-hmm. Climbs up and looks down the chimney, and the guy has turned off the stove, so it seems safe enough. So he crawls down and kind of with a crash lands on the stove. Am I doing the
that was
process?
Wonderful. That was wonderful. Wow. There was everything built in there. There was suspense, and I had genuine fear for what was going to become of Mark. I thought that was a bad idea for him to jump right down onto the stove like that, but... That was wonderful. You've got three or four pages of the bagel shop in the desert right there.
Yeah, yeah. I Can you describe to me what in your mind is the bun process?
Well, you've just done it right there. You've just done a perfect demonstration of it.
I just closed my eyes and made up a story.
And you got four pages into a novel from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, I'm just saying I did all that. Well,
there you go.
How can you put a title on that that claims ownership as if you were doing?
It's because it's my process.
Okay.
That was wonderful. Well, I hope you keep up and finish that story at some point, because there's a lot of questions there. Why in the middle of the desert?
Yeah.
And why is Mark's clothes are just doing just fine? How did he get there?
Well, now I'm feeling more of a guiding angle from you. I would say during it, it just was kind of like I was just making up a story.
All
and
right.
you got scared at one point. That was almost distracting.
That's the mark of a good storyteller. I was feeling that emotion. I couldn't help myself.
So the bun process is
yes.
One person closes their eyes and makes up a story, and another yes. person listens to them?
Well, you don't even need the other person. Now you know. Now you've got all the tools, and you could do this in your own home.
I may never need it. There is no bun process.
You're welcome.
I just think I felt like I was fully coming from my mind. I didn't
yeah.
feel your presence a lot during the story itself.
Yeah, I did guide you to that calendar.
That's true. You did make me say
yeah,
a year.
That's right. So we knew what year it was at the bagel
and
shop.
And is that a big move in the bun process? That's
otherwise,
a
how are we going to know what year it is?
You've got to always zoom in on a calendar.
You've read stories before?
I've read a few of your books, and I do notice that it always at some point says we see on the walls a calendar.
Very early on. First two yeah. pages,
you
yes.
You get the year out.
It's a great thing to throw in there right at the top. Well, sadly, we're almost out of time here. This has been a wonderful discussion. I've been having a great time. But we're almost to the end of the show. But we've got to know. I've got to find out. Mike, what are you working on now?
Thanks, Richard, and thanks again for having me. I'm very excited to announce that I recently got hired to staff on a new sitcom that's going
oh, wow.
out here in L.A., and I'm very
wonderful.
Excited about it. It's called it's brand new. It's called mm-hmm. It's from creator Michael Epstein, and it's called
yes.
My Roommate's the Longshoreman. And it's a young lady who has just moved to New York, and mm-hmm. she's looking to save money. So she signs on, you know, implied through Craigslist or something, to have mm-hmm. these roommates. And it turns out it's these, like, seven longshoremen kind of dock worker guys.
Uh-huh.
And she's kind of more like the girl on Friends who's the dumb blonde with the guitar.
Played by Lisa Kudrow.
Yes. She's like
Phoebe.
The Phoebe energy. And these guys are just, you know, reek of fish.
Just dirty, long, yeah. nasty sailors.
Yeah. And the freedom of it is we get to write them saying and trying to do anything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is not network prime
time.
It is. It is.
It will be. Yeah, it'll
They're
be.
They're waiving a lot of the rules as far as
well, it's going to be
standards.
There will be bleeps. But they don't care if they're, cuz these are, and we got real guys. They're not actors. These guys,
none of these longshoremen are actors at all.
No. They got them literally off the docks, and I'm so excited about
Do
that.
Any of them speak English?
Mostly
immigrants?
Not. No. They're mostly
just some big sweaty Slovaks and
Eastern European.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And
Russians.
They hate being on the set, and
mm-hmm.
and you get one take of each thing if you're lucky.
That's it.
And we've gone through three Phoebe types,
because
the girls do not like
not happy.
They're getting grabbed and manhandled in a way that's often not in the script. But we
yeah.
let the guys do one improv take. And
well, that's nice. That was going to be my question. How are they memorizing the lines, especially if they don't speak the language?
They're terrible. We were having to often feed them the line right before
mm-hmm.
and give them like a quick English pronunciation of it.
Just a phonetic sound through the word type thing.
And I can't tell you how often it goes in one ear, out the other,
mm-hmm.
and they improvise. And
yep.
again, we have a director, Michael Epstein, who created
Creator and
Portlandia,
director.
Portlandia, all that.
Oh, yes.
Saturday Night Live. And so he loves improvisation,
yep.
but he's sometimes kind of like, I wish they would say the real line once before they just go grabbing at the girl and shoving the walls. They love to prove that the set is fake.
Right.
That's
right.
Like one of their big laughs.
Okay.
So they'll rip things off the wall and show the studio audience that it's a fake set.
Right.
And they die laughing. And
that's their sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah. That and like kind of trying to push out farts to be louder. And we've got back storage extra footage of the farting. We're not putting that in any of the episodes.
You can't
this
use
is
that.
This is on ABC Tuesdays at 8 p.m. We
right.
can't
you can't
use that.
You're not going to be able to use any of that.
No.
And this has been picked up for a full 22 episodes. Is that right?
It's got a 3-year
3 years
pickup at ABC Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. for 3 years for sure. It's my roommate's the longshoreman, and so fingers crossed goes 4.
It sounds like it's going to be groundbreaking one way or the other. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, me too. I think it'll be it's a paycheck first and foremost for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And secondarily, it's a fun way to meet guys who are
they're not in the business
stinkier.
Until now.
Yeah.
Just real salt of the earth types.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, they sound like a rowdy ball of fun.
Yeah, yeah. They keep beating us writers up pretty bad.
Wow, I can imagine. Well, I'd love to stop by the set one day, but we can work that out some other time.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. I'll take that as a yes. Thank you. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you, Mike, here on the Mr. Right program. Please tell our listeners right here, where can they get your sketch comedy album, Tasty Radio?
They can get that album on iTunes or Google Play. If they Google search Mike O'Brien Tasty Radio or look it up in the iTunes store, they'll find it there.
Wonderful. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a treat and a pleasure and an education.
Thanks, Richard. You were going to tell me later your highest level of education another time?
Self-taught. Largely self-taught.
Starting to suspect that.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I'll get that fax number right after the program. Thanks so much, Mike. And thank you, listeners. Goodbye.
Episodes of Mr. Right were recorded at Earwolf Studios and engineered by Ryan Connor and Sam Kiefer, and recorded at Werewolf Heart Studios and engineered by Alex Burke. Mr. Right is produced by Mark McConville and created by Paul Britton. The theme song, Hot Decaf and a Fancy Scone, was written and performed by Alex Burke, Brandon Dickert, and Gordon Bash, and engineered and produced by Neil Baldock. Mr. Right is a Howl original and a production of Midroll Media.